WEEI Studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
If the guy you want is someone you don't have to use the second pick to take, how cute can you afford to get?
Not very. Two words. Be careful, Greeny. I sat there. Just this discussion alone gives me angst because I have been there. When you trade back and you go back two spots, Greeny, you better love two guys. And you could actually ask the team to say, hey, who are you taking? And at that point, there is usually honor where they say, hey, we're going to go take Jaden Daniels, and we love J.J. McCarthy, let's say. So I understand we'd rather have J.J. McCarthy and an extra second-round pick. That makes sense, but don't get too cute because all of a sudden, if you go back too far, hey, maybe New England gets a call that they can't refuse, and that would make me extremely nervous if I was Washington.
Mike Tannenbaum this morning on Get Up. He's talking about Washington trading back, but I think that's instructive. You're going to move down, you better love two players, three players, four players. We talked about this with Christian Gonzalez when the Pats moved back last year. They risked losing out on him. Regardless of what you hear or what is said, they had to be okay with missing out on Gonzalez to move back. There's honor there, Tannenbaum says, but not always. You never know about other teams leapfrogging you on the picks in between. You don't know. And so you might have a good feel on it. You might think you know. You don't know. And he said he's been burned by it before. So in general, I don't love the idea of trading back. Take a guy you like. Don't, when it's a known commodity, meaning your known pick, take a guy you like. You know he's on the board. You know it's your pick. Take him. In general, I don't like trading back. But it'd be a risk. Oh, just move down to 10. Or I'm sorry, you know, 11, 12, 13. And then move back up and get J.J. McCarthy. That's so many moving parts. The word he used, Mego, is the same exact wording you used. Don't get too cute. And so even though he's talking about the Commanders, I would apply that to the Patriots. I hope that's not in play. And to be honest, I really don't think it is. We played a clip from Pete Schrager earlier today. He doesn't think the Patriots are trading out. I don't either.
You think he was listening to me when he came up with that
Tannenbaum
too
or
thing?
Pete Schrager?
Tannenbaum.
It is very unique phrasing, so it could be. I don't know where else he ever would have heard that before.
I coined that the other day, the wordsmith that I am. Yeah, I completely agree. Like, it's too important with the quarterback. It's one thing to do it with a cornerback and to feel confident that there's going to be a couple of guys that you like there. If you're treating the quarterback position that way, then I hate it. You can't treat the quarterback position that way. I don't even like the idea that they feel pretty good about Jaden Daniels, and they feel pretty good about Drake May because I want them to have conviction with one quarterback. It's one thing to sit there and go, both of these guys are talented, and we think that they're good guys, and they're well-liked by their teammate and intangibles and blah, 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 blah. But you got to like one more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
like, you got to be in on one more.
I agree with that, too. Now, if you think you can move down and still get your guy, Danny Ainge getting Jason Tatum, that sort of idea, I get that a little bit more, but you're still risking missing out on your guy. So stay there and get your guy. Usually what you move down and acquire for extra picks wasn't worth it. They moved down. They still got Tatum at 3. The other lottery pick was worthless. It was freaking Romeo Langford. So it was worthless. So who cares? Stay there and get your guy. They could have taken Tatum at 1. They would have been in the exact same spot as they were moving down to number 3. And so that's what I would say about the Patriots. And I agree with you, Mego. You can be okay with Jaden Daniels at 3, but you might prefer Drake May at 2. Which is why our big question of the day, which is up at Jones and Mego, I think is important. Is Washington going to screw up what you want? You might be okay with it, but it's a backup plan. It's plan C as opposed to plan B. Plan A might be Caleb Williams if you can get him on a lot of people's lists. So now you're moving down to your third quarterback. You might be okay with it, but you have a preference. Is Washington going to screw up the Patriots pick at number 3 by taking Drake May at number 2? 66% say no. They're with Arcan. 34%. Or with Mego and myself. You can vote there. You can jump in on the phones. 617-779-7937, like John in New Bedford. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing? I think you don't trade down from number 3. And if Penix is available out of Washington from the championship last year, you take Penix.
He said 3? He said won the championship. They didn't win the championship last year.
And I'm pretty sure he'll be available at 3 there.
Yeah, he's saying if he'll be available. No, he's going to be available.
Something tells me.
It's possible that John had some inside info He's going to go Washington with the Washington.
It's true. Maybe I cut him off too soon. But I thought maybe he said in the championship. Maybe I misheard
yeah, I
him.
He
but
said
yeah,
from
yeah,
the
in the championship.
Champ,
you're right. Yeah. Penix is going to be there at three. I'm fairly confident. I'm no draft expert, but I am fairly confident.
God, Jones, you think you know everything.
So
annoying.
When it comes to the idea of trading back, though, Bill Barnwell wrote about this the other day. He does an all trades mock. Okay, so for every pick, kind of what it would be worth, and he goes through the exercise. It's fun. Obviously, there's not going to be 32 trades in the first round.
It is fun.
Which one would you prefer out of these two? Okay, you tell me. The Patriots trading up to number two or trading out of number three, and I'll give you what they'd have to give up to move to number two and what they'd have to, or what they would receive, rather, to move back. He writes that for the Patriots to move from three to two, one spot, basically using the Mitch Trubisky trade as a framework, when they passed on, guys like Mahomes and Deshaun Watson later on to move up one spot to take Mitch Trubisky. You would have to give up your third rounder, number three, obviously. You'd have to give up your third rounder this year, number 68, a second rounder next year, and a future fourth round pick. Okay? That doesn't seem like a lot, just FYI.
No, but when you put it in the historical context with the Trubisky, it feels really bad.
It's a little scary.
It doesn't sound good when you categorize it that way.
So it's a three this year, a two, and a four next year, basically, to move up one spot. I don't really think that's much, to be honest, but perhaps you disagree, and you like this plan better. Would you rather move from the number three pick and accumulate future first-round picks, a 2025 first-round pick, a 2026 third-round pick? I'm sorry, those are part of what you'd have to give up too. Don't worry about those. You would move back to 13, and you would get the 44th pick this year, plus a first rounder in 2025 and 2026. So you're not getting Minnesota in this scenario, 11 and 23. You're getting 13. Is that Denver or is that Vegas? I forget who that is.
I think that's Vegas.
13 is okay. Vegas, yeah.
And then you would get 44 this year and combine that with two future first round picks. And here's what your haul would look like: 13, 34, 44, and 68. On the first 2 days this year, plus a future first in each of the next two drafts. Which scenario do you prefer?
So what I like about the second one is you could do a lot of stuff in the second round. You could get a tackle. You could get a receiver. Like, you could clean up very nicely there in one draft. But you're still yada-yadding past the quarterback. So I only really like that if you're all of a sudden just completely taken with Penix, as our last caller was. That you would look at that and go, well, that's our guy anyway, and we get this whole haul on top of it, and we get to build out in future drafts. Like, I understand the reasoning for that, but me personally, even with the historical context of the Trubisky draft, I like the first one better because I like the two quarterbacks, Daniels and May, better than Penix, and I just think that's a more important pick to hit on.
Yeah, and as it ties into our big question of the day, you rule out Washington screwing up your pick. You get your guy. Now, maybe this is what Washington wants. Maybe Washington wants the Patriots to get scared and move up, and they can move back, and they can do their own Jason Tatum-level trade. I really don't think that's all that steep. So I'm with you. I'd rather move up to number two. Arcan?
I'd rather move back 100%. I mean,
of
that's
course he would.
Well, I mean, it's two first-round picks for the next 3 years. I think that's a pretty enticing offer there, and that's something that I'd be into. And also, as Mego said, you can use that in the future to try and move back up if there's a quarterback you like more down the road.
Yeah,
which,
but if it's Vegas, how good are those picks going to be? I mean, Vegas
they're 13
could be good
right
next
now.
Year.
Sure. I mean, they could be, but it's Vegas, and they
Arcan
were.
Arcan hates the quarterback, so he doesn't think
yeah.
Vegas is going
to
be.
And I don't even think that they're good to begin with. So it's like if you were talking about giving up draft capital and I loved one of the quarterbacks and I said, okay, this is who I like, go ahead and do that, I'd be okay with that. But I don't like them. So I'd say, yeah, absolutely. Go back, get more capital, get set up for the next 2 years. It's going to be a long rebuild. I think it's going to be a long rebuild anyway. So, yeah, that's 100% what I'd
do. So here's the framework. Would you rather move up to the second pick, get your guy, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels, ensure you get your guy, but you have to part with a second rounder next year and a fourth rounder next year to move up, plus your third rounder this year? Or would you rather move back? You're probably not getting a quarterback out of the top four anyway, if you like McCarthy. Maybe you're getting Knicks. Maybe you're getting Penix. But the haul is now 13, 34, 44, 68, plus two first rounders next year, two first rounders the year after that. Which would you rather? You can weigh in. 617-779-7937. While we're talking about Drake May, who Mego and I like, Arcan forwarded this because he hates Drake May, as we established. It's going to be awkward during the interview this year, Mego. You're
sidebar,
right about that.
What are we going to do with him? I mean, seriously. Like, there's a very good chance that they bring May in, and if he hears any of this, Arcan can't be in the room. May's a big guy.
It's a good point.
I'm a big guy.
Arcan is not alone, though.
Sidebar, Arcand. They're trying to have a conversation.
Arcand is not alone. Rodney Harrison, also not a fan.
Also a big guy.
Yeah.
Rodney, what do they do at quarterback talking about the Patriots?
Well, you're probably going to have to find something in the later rounds or possibly even trade for a quarterback, but there's no way I'm spending the number three pick overall on Drake May.
Amen.
There's no way.
Okay.
Okay, well, there's definitely no way because you don't work for the Patriots.
He doesn't elaborate there much, but he is, and we've heard plenty of the reporting. He's too much of a mess. His footwork is a mess. Bad decision making. He's inaccurate. Blah 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 blah. So, Arcand, why'd you forward that?
I forwarded it because, first of all, it agrees with me, and I think that anytime that happens, I have an obligation to try and put it out there. But also because he's really into Marvin Harrison and the idea of drafting the wide receiver there at three, and that's sort of what the pick was. It was him, Jack Collinsworth, and Tony Dungy, and they were going down the draft and each making a pick. And when it came to three, he said, I'd take Harrison here because Harrison's a grand slam. That's what he believes. That's what Harrison believes about the other Harrison. And, of course, Tony Dungy was like, I remember Marvin Harrison Jr. when he was two,
yeah, right,
blah,
right.
Blah, 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 and going on and on and on. But the point was, and it's a point that I tend to agree with, is that if you think one of these guys is going to be a great player, then you go for the great player over your need. And if you're and they have a need there at wide receiver too, but you go for the better player. And I think that that's probably Harrison. So I don't know. I thought it was some good, compelling data there from Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, but again, that just assumes you're getting the great player.
Right.
I don't know why people assume the quarterback won't work, but the wide receiver will. I don't get why people assume that. I don't get why people assume
it's not the quarterback and the wide receiver. It's Drake May and Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, right.
People basing it off the last season where Harrison was awesome and Drake May fell off.
Fine.
That's what it is. I mean, if you're asking, that's why people assume that.
I know, but it's foolish because wide receivers whiff in the top five and tackles whiff in the top five.
And quarterbacks whiff in the top five.
Yeah, of course they do. But
so why is your way okay and no one can take the
not.
Other way?
Well, you never hear the other way is the point. Unless I bring it up. Everybody's just like, oh, well, you know, tackle and wide receiver are safer. They're not. And so I would rather take the big swing. I would much rather take the big swing. That's all. You only hear about, oh, it's dangerous to take quarterback up high. You can whiff on a wide receiver up there. Plenty of teams have. How do you like Justin Blackmon? Out of the league in like 4 years. He was a top five pick. That was a can't-miss guy. He was the clear-cut best receiver in his draft. He was wildly productive in college. And so why does no one factor that in? Take a swing on the quarterback. That's all.
It's also, I'm sorry, Arcand, it's really different to talk about drafting out of need when you're looking at it, you're going, wow, they really need a tight end versus they need a freaking quarterback. Like, they need a quarterback. We can't keep sitting here when you have the number three pick and no quarterback and acting like it's an afterthought with the entire draft plan.
That commentary, and I didn't hear the full thing with Dungy and Rodney Harrison, and I get Dungy's probably compromised for sure, but it's like they're just, well, if you can get the great player, well, yeah, if you can get the great player, you should probably take a great player. Why is it such a lock he's a great player? I'm rejecting that commentary.
Fine, and that's fair, but that's what they believe, and that's what a lot of people believe.
Okay, I believe Drake May is a great player.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay.
It's the butt bloodline.
It's a matter of opinion. It's not like we'll see what the right answer is when everybody drafts and gets on the field.
But do you know how often
from now
I have
on, you have to speculate.
Do you know how often I have to hear that where it's like, well, just get the great player. Well, duh, get the great player. Why are you sold he won't whiff?
He's got great butt bloodlines.
Maybe that's the reason. Maybe that is the reason. But, like, why do people just assume that, like, the wide receiver is a lock? That's so dumb to me. And it's Harrison and Dungy. People like in the league are like, oh, yeah, we'll just take the guy who won't miss. He can miss. He definitely, definitely can miss. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback. And we have Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, standing by for our weekly chat. That's at 3:30. Arcand with all the latest here in trending. And we're right back.
Asking the questions that you need answered.
How does this bra work again? Why are there so many clasps?
You're listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
I really do think that a lot of this was for Elliott Wolf saying this. He's putting at the end of the driveway a make me an offer, walk up to the door, knock on it, and we will talk about it. We want to hear what you have. I do, however, think the default is quarterback, and it has to be quarterback based upon his situation and his statements about the team being ready for it, which we'll get to in a second. Phil.
Hang on, Phil. We're going to get to that.
This is actually Phil right here. Just bust out the Genuine.
Genuine's full name. You didn't know that? It's Phil Perry, actually. It's at Patriots Talk Podcast. Tommy Curran. We're going to talk to him momentarily. We'll do the questioning there.
You know Genuine's real name is Elgin Baylor?
No,
I'm not
kidding. I just said it was Phil Perry. It's actually
his
Elgin
name
Baylor.
Is actually Elgin Baylor. Hmm. Elgin Baylor something. But yeah, it's Elgin Baylor.
Pretty sure it's Phil Perry.
Elgin Baylor, Phil Perry.
Genuine
wine.
It's a long name.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I think we should make this Kearns music.
Yeah?
Yeah, he'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
On the midday show, they play
What Are the Chances?
American Woman.
For Curran?
Yeah.
Why?
That makes less sense than this.
Yeah.
I think
this doesn't make a lot of sense. It makes more sense than American Woman.
So if you
Woman.
Know this about Tom Curran, he really loves karaoke. And I think that
I
was one of
that.
His karaoke songs.
Ah.
Genuine or?
No, not Pony by Genuine.
Man, do you think Curran he's on stage
American
doing
woman?
This?
You got to make room for Butte.
You think he's aware of this song?
This song?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think so.
What do you
I don't
mean,
know.
Probably?
He always tells me that he doesn't know anything from the 90s because he had three kids that were very young.
Okay. So that would be a no. He doesn't
know. So unless
know this,
this
song.
Was like
kids
a.
Kids were conceived of this song.
Yeah. Unless this was like a little nursery rhyme they had.
Okay,
they
stop it.
They were conceived of like a Talking Heads album. Wasn't this. We'll continue with your phone call, 617.
I like the Talking Heads.
779-79. What did I didn't say I dislike the Talking Heads. I'm
Tom
just
Curran's first question.
I'm telling you, I
you're
don't think
like
he knows.
That's bad lovemaking music.
I'm saying I don't think he knows that song. My money is on he is unaware of Genuine
Psycho
in that song.
Psycho killer. Kiss, kiss, say.
Curran, we'll get to the draft in a second. First things first. What type of music do you like to
yeah.
conceive your children to?
Yeah, I will tell you, when I schedule my sex, there's no music. I will tell you. That's not a thing. There's
acapella.
No music. No. Please. And if there was a song, it would be something quick.
You just put on one of those old Halloween creepy noises albums. It's like a door opening.
It's a song. Find me a song under 2 minutes. That's all we need. Let's go to Russ in
I
Connecticut.
Feel like Jones, he schedules his sex.
It's just weird how Wiggy knows that, but he's not wrong. Russ, hello. Yes.
Yeah, I'm good. Jones, I don't want to see you swing and miss. I'm with Arcan. You know, I went to Sunday Mass with Father Arcan. I'm all in with him. I want to trade back.
Thank you,
I feel very strongly that Bo Nix is a man. Penix is good. But they played together, and Bo Nix lost 2 games by 6 points to him.
Yeah, I point that out to your guy, the Reverend, all the time because he prefers Bo Nix. I point that out to him constantly, that Penix dominated him in both of those matchups. Have you noticed?
It dominates a little strong.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Genuine's real name is Elgin Baylor Lumpkin?
Okay, I thought she was about to just say Elgin Baylor, and I was about to.
I was so excited.
No,
I
Lumpkin?
Was about to
I didn't
say,
know the last name was Lumpkin, but I knew it was Elgin Baylor.
Like a Blumpkin?
Whoa. Yes, Meg, I like that.
Did I just get dropped?
Probably.
No, but if you say it again.
Okay.
I'm not even joking around. Didn't the Patriots have a Lumpkin in training camp this
I mean,
year?
That's yes. B Lumpkin. That's E B Lumpkin.
Spelling doesn't really.
Patriots had Johnny.
You know
Lumpkin.
What?
Johnny
Go
Lumpkin.
For it.
Johnny Lumpkin.
I don't
Thank
care.
You.
Mega, what's the show you like? You like to watch episodes of from time to time?
Summer House.
Nope. It's got Eugene Levy.
Oh, I'm not allowed to say the name of that one. It's Bleep Creek. I found that out the hard way.
Bleep Umpkin.
You know what? I'm like sweating over here, and it smells like ghost
yeah,
tequila.
Yeah, no, it's the booze. Yeah. It's the booze. We're all aware. I was about to point out that have you noticed that Arcan has completely distanced himself from Bo Nix?
Yeah, he hasn't uttered his name in like a month.
I'm not sure where he's going to go in the round. That's why. Like,
oh,
I
really?
I don't know
what does
that
matter?
Matter.
Oh, really?
Do you like him or do you not? What does that matter?
Yeah, I like
matter?
Him. I like him probably more than the other quarterbacks, but not enough to draft him at 3.
Okay, but this is what I was just going to say. Shouldn't you be stumping for them to trade back and take Bo Nix?
I'm not sure where he's going.
That's your guy.
I'm not sure where he's going to get picked. Like, if you're talking about trading back, like, to 23, I don't know if he's going to be there.
Okay, well, then
if you think you can get him in the 11? Second round, then I'd be okay waiting to get him in the second round.
How about 11, 12, or 13? Those are all in play.
Yeah, I guess those are in play. You could probably get him there. But, I mean, again, like, if you do that, then you're missing out on the elite wide receiver at 3. So I feel like no matter what you do, you're sort of porked here because you didn't get anything that you wanted in free agency.
He has no plan at quarterback. None. His plan was Bo Nix, and he doesn't even want to take him anymore. He doesn't even like him anymore.
He gave up after Russell Wilson
was
off the board.
He's sneaky trying to get on the Jaden Daniels bandwagon, which I've noticed. I've noticed this movement from him.
He really has. He's been warming up to it, and he's just running away from his Bo Nix take.
If I thought you could get Harrison and Nix without making a trade, then I would do that. But I don't think you can, so.
Out of the corner of my eye, I definitely thought we were putting a different definition up on the screen on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Yes, I thought that's exactly
I think
we're what
fine
I thought.
On Twitch.
There you go. It's Elgin Baylor Lumpkin. Lumpkin Mego is what that is.
Damn near killed him.
But that's no wonder he changed his name. I mean, that's not a stage name. There's no doubt about
or
that.
Or is it? Is it the ultimate stage name? Could be. If that was your rapper name?
It would be your something name, I can tell you that.
Lil Lumpkin.
Cam is in the car. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Cam.
Hey, listen, I drive in every morning and I hear about the Greg Hill road show, and I drive home every day and I never hear about the Johnson Megan with Arcan road show. So I'm just wondering, you know, what date I can put down on my calendar here.
Okay, so should we get on the road show bandwagon? Do we need to do our own road shows?
Is it a road show if it's empty?
That's a good question. I pitched a college bar idea last year.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that idea too. It got shut down. But I like that idea.
I think we'll circle back in football season.
Maybe we should circle back to that in football season? Okay.
Roadshow is a lot of logistics.
What if we just show up to the Greg Hill roadshow?
What if we just show up to every show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, what if? They already got the broadcasting equipment there. What if we just glom on?
Or we just hang out in the audience of every show.
That works.
And then we leave before they can say hello.
We were at one last year. We were at the one
in
Government Center. Well, Arcan wasn't.
I was not.
Arcan was conspicuously not invited to that, I feel like. But we were at that last year, so we were at one of them. It's a good question. Good question by the caller. Meanwhile, we have lots of questions for Tommy Curran. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He's brought to you by Drains by James. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. What's going on this week, Tom E. Curran?
Lots going on. We're 6 days out from the NFL draft. There's playoff hockey and basketball beginning, and so the Sox are still coming along.
So, yeah. I mean, that's a glass half full with the Red Sox, even for me, and I'm fully on the bandwagon. When it comes to the draft approaching, it is, by the way, Tom, in case you were keeping score at home, 6 days, 4 hours, 28 minutes, and 50 seconds, 49 seconds, 48 seconds away. The Patriots will be on the clock shortly after that. Thank you, Ryan. So, I'm a little nervous now that Washington is leaning on Drake May and moving away from Jaden Daniels. What do you think the Patriots are doing at number three based on some of the latest reports that Washington could be unsure of what they're doing at two?
I think they'll be happy as clams with whichever guy comes to them, whether it be Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I truly do.
Okay, but they must have a preference, right?
I don't know. I honestly don't. I think, again, I asked Elliot Wolf this yesterday. Would you look at any of these players as ones that you're settling for? So to me, if you have two highly capable players, you're going to fashion and tailor everything you do to that player's skills. But I think if both the players have particular skills that you can work with, you're happy either way. So to me, if you have a preference that is so profound that you're kicking rocks, if you don't get that player, then you have to think about moving down. But I don't think that absolutely exists by any stretch of the imagination. I think that they can definitely look. Who do you think is a better quarterback today? Jaden Daniels, a better quarterback today. J.J. McCarthy is probably a better quarterback today. It's all the upside of Drake May. So when you look at that, you're projecting. So if the Patriots are mad because they get a player who's better than Drake May is, as we stand here and the Commanders have taken Drake May, I don't know how you could be dissatisfied.
Tom, there's been a report that's out there that there's kind of a split in the front office about what quarterback or what to do with that number three pick. Do you get any kind of sense of who? I know Elliot Wolf has told us that at the end of the day, it's him who's making the decision. He said that months ago. But do you get any kind of sense of like what the prevailing preference is between May, Daniels, and trading back?
What seems to be the case, and again, I haven't gotten a sense of that, and while there might be a split, I don't think that there is any rancor or schism or anything else you'd want to call it. There might be divergent opinions, but ones that can certainly be bridged. Again, as I'm saying, all three, including McCarthy, are players that they would feel good about, I believe. They don't have to worry about all three. They're only going to have to worry about two, but the perception I got in Albert Breer conversations and then Felger last night on BST was kind of saying that his understanding is that Mayo and Wolf seem to be more on the side of McCarthy, while Van Pelt and McAdoo seem to be more on the side of Drake May. I don't know that to be the case. I've had conversations this week that didn't indicate to me a massive McCarthy upswell. I know that he interviewed extremely well, and he is a magnetic personality, and that was one of the big takeaways from his meeting, but you know, their misgiving on him is the same as it is around with every team in the league. You just don't have the production. I mean, I think it was Dan Orlovsky who might have said it. From 20 to 20, he's outstanding. They get inside the 20 and they're just playing Michigan football. I actually don't think that was Orlovsky, but you don't get to see him work in the red zone. So it's sight unseen on some aspects of J.J. McCarthy, but I don't think that there is going to be a situation where it's standing there at 20 paces having a duel to figure out who they're going to take or they're going to trade down. I think that they'll be able to find them a court. Go ahead. Sorry.
Is this a new way of doing things? Obviously, the old way was Bill Belichick sort of decided and would come down with the decision at the last moment. Now you're looking at a much more collaborative way of going about it. It seems like everybody has a voice. I wouldn't say they're all equal voices, but you also don't have, Tom, the general manager or someone with that title who can cast the deciding vote. So how is this process sort of working here as we're 6 days away? Whose voices are getting more attention and who's maybe getting less?
Whatever side of the ball you're on, I think you're going to get input relative to what you want. So, for instance, Van Pelt, McAdoo, McCartney on the offensive side, when it comes to quarterbacks, McCartney being the quarterbacks coach, they would have a larger say, but I think the final say will rest. And then, of course, you could have the scouting people who are involved and what they saw, what they found. They can provide information as to what did the team think about? What did the equipment manager think of him? What is his personality like? How does he deal with adversity? So all those things, everybody's going to have evidence to bring to the table. And I think in the end, you'll have conversations about it. How does it work? I don't know how well it will it work. I think we would find out, hopefully, after the draft as we start to poke around. But I think the most important thing to understand is, again, not to be, you know, jingoistic about it or overly optimistic about it. There's three players that they like at three, whichever one they take or are left taking. I don't think the big story is going to be they just took a player they don't want.
Fair enough. It's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us here each and every week on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. We talked to you a few weeks back. You brought up the name A.J. Brown. You said, hey, I'm just speculating. I haven't heard anything. I'm looking at his situation. I'm connecting dots. It turns out A.J. Brown is creating a stir on social media. Your colleague, Burt Breer, said last night the Patriots have inquired. Philadelphia is shutting everything down. What's your understanding of the Patriots, their interest level in A.J. Brown?
They are very interested, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, in making a trade. They didn't get Calvin Ridley. They're well aware of, you know, the $25 million hole that they were prepared to spend at wide receiver, or $22 million, as the case might have been. And they didn't get somebody. So what's the next place down? You have to look to try and figure out if you can find somebody and extract them from another team. A.J. Brown is actually, to me, not only a better player than Calvin Ridley or Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins, he's also more cost-effective in that you have three more years left on his contract. And again, we talked about this. He's a guy who, in 2019, when the Patriots didn't draft him, and that was a lifetime ago for this franchise, but he was in tears when the Patriots didn't draft him. He was convinced he was coming here, wanted to come here. So I think it's interesting to continue to monitor, but also when you look at the fact in that Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta article this week, that the Eagles spent a fair amount of time actually spitballing what Bill Belichick's head coaching tenure would look like in Philadelphia. I think there's probably fences to be mended with the head coach, Nick Sirianni, and the front office, or at least you don't want to look like you're setting your guy up to fail. Oh, yeah, Nick, not only were we talking to Bill Belichick, we just traded A.J. Brown to the team he was with. Good luck this year.
Tom, and I'm sorry to interrupt. You don't think A.J. Brown would want a new contract? Isn't that why he's squawking in Philly?
I don't think he likes it in Philly. He's got 3 years left on it. That would be an aggressive move.
Tom, what'd you make of Elliott Wolff's press conference? And what did you make of the comments that he had about, hey, we're not drafting from a place of need. Look what we did in free agency, especially on offense.
I hated to say that actually stood out to me more than any quarterback or trade down conversation. Because if Elliott Wolff truly thinks that the Patriots are a team that does not have to draft for need, or that the conversation about trading down and building the roster around the quarterback and having assets at other positions, he insinuated the conversation about this team not being ready to support a quarterback was beyond his capability of comprehending.
then he needs to take a long, objective look at his roster, which was in possession of the worst offense in football. Yeah, the Carolina Panthers scored by a fractional amount less than the Patriots, but at least they had a first-round quarterback they were dealing with in his first year. The Patriots are still looking for that. They have to fill that spot. They have the worst offense in football, yet with a straight face, Elliott Wolf made the comment that they don't have to draft for need. Yes, you do. You have to draft a tackle. I don't care how good a core four might project to be. Riley Reiff and Calvin Anderson probably projected pretty good last year. Juju Smith-Schuster should not be included right now based on last year as a guy that you're excited about. They didn't do really anything on offense. They swapped out Ezekiel Elliott for Antonio Gibson. And that, to me, makes Elliott Wolf a little suspect in my eyes. He has a lot more to prove after that press conference to me, because if he was a part of the front office making the decisions, and it wasn't all on Bill to move on from Jacoby Myers and bring in Juju, or to push away from the table the year before DeAndre Hopkins and say, too rich for our blood, and he ends up playing for an incredibly reasonable contract at Tennessee and having a 1,000-yard season. If he was the guy who was deciding on Riley Reiff and Calvin Anderson, then that's a problem. Don't defend that roster. Say there's plenty of work to do. I'm not asking them to assail the guys who are on the team, but that's a pee on your leg and tell, you know, pee on my leg, tell me it's raining situation right there. And I thought that that was offensive to anybody's sensibilities who's been watching the team, to say we don't have to draft for need. Well, then who does in the NFL if the Patriots don't?
Good point. Tom, before we let you go here, you mentioned the Van Natta Wickersham story about Kraft and Belichick and the job hunt and all of that. How was the impact of that over at Foxborough, and has there been any fallout from it? We know Stacey James denied it, but I mean, behind the scenes, how's that landing?
they're just pissed because, you know, Robert, I think their belief was, from folks who actually were in the room when Robert was talking to Arthur Blank, was, is this the Bill Belichick that we know and love that you're talking about? Because you are over the top praiseworthy here of Bill. And then to have it come out that he backstabbed Bill was, they thought that Robert was exceedingly praising of Bill. So to me, I think the fallout is just, all right, it's the third in a long line of stories that have come from ESPN, which is soon going to employ Bill, that makes Kraft look like nitwits and make Bill look like a poorly persecuted guy. So I think that that's the fallout in Foxborough. I kind of thought that the bigger hook to that was, and I understand you have to tether it to something, and tethering it to Robert Kraft submarining the opportunity is more sexy, but the fact that nobody in Atlanta had him in their top three is kind of eye-opening.
Yeah. Stacey didn't exactly deny it, though, right? I mean, he outright denied on that call what happened, but he didn't deny that Kraft had done some bad-mouthing of Bill in the past, right? That wasn't shut down.
Well, I mean, if you're on the dynasty, you get all the bad-mouthing of Bill you could possibly want.
Well, that's why I find it very plausible he was ripping Bill.
Say that again?
That's why I find it plausible he was ripping Bill. He did it on camera.
Or telling the truth to somebody who was speaking as a friend and asking for a recommendation and a referral. I mean, I just don't understand why a guy who just went 4-13 was within 15 games of setting the wins record, and the Patriots had to go through a painful divorce with the guy and take a lot of backlash and accelerate their succession plan. I don't think that Arthur Blank would have sat there on the phone and said, we sure do wish we had him. Do you think he'd buy that?
No, I mean, look, I was...
You would not tell the truth.
I wouldn't have hired Bill, but I find it interesting, that conversation, at least as that was framed at ESPN. It's a fair point. I mean, Bill popped up later that day on the McAfee show. We talked about this earlier in the week. He's going to be working with Omaha Productions, which works closely with ESPN as well. He's Tommy Curran. You can check out his work, NBC Sports Boston, Patriots Talk Podcast, Quick Slants, and every week here on WEEI, Tuesdays with Gresham Fourier and here on Jones and Mego. We appreciate the time, Tom. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you
thanks,
too.
Tom. Thank
Tommy
you, Tom.
Curran, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. We'll continue with your feedback coming up. Somebody suggested on the text line, by the way, 37937. We should hear Mac doing the My Pony remix. Not to put more on Ryan's plate.
I would say we don't need to hear that. Nobody ever needs to hear that.
Make the song even sexier.
Even Sophie's like, I don't need to hear that.
Meanwhile, we'll get back into your feedback. We'll also
you're
get
horny,
into...
let's do it right at My Pony. I was right.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
That's all you need to hear. We'll get to the Bruins. Do they have a plan yet in net? Let's get to that next.
Megan Ottolini, don't yuck her yum.
I just read these back-to-back texts. Mego has a very unique chicken kink, followed by a different number that just says, Mego is disgusting.
You have a chicken kink.
Don't yuck my yum.
Jones and Mego on WEEI.
I can't argue with a coach that says, you know, look at the records. The records are almost identical. Save percentage, wins, losses, that kind of stuff. So it's his feel. He's in the locker room a lot more than I am, and he's got the right to make the call. In fact, that's his job. So I'll go with what I would not want to. I would not want to have a rotation. I'd like to have a second goaltender that I could call on if things went bad, but I don't. I'd rather just get with my guy. But that hasn't been the case for two full seasons.
That was Mike Milbury yesterday morning on the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI. You miss any of that? Check it out. Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can listen to interviews on the Greg Hill Show, Gresham Fourier, or, of course, here on Jones and Mega with Arkin on WEEI. Now, since Milbury appeared yesterday, Jim Montgomery spoke with the media today. He said, we have decided on a goalie for game one, but I'm not sharing with you guys.
Ooh, you little tease.
So, look, I don't mind playing
I'll
that game.
I'll never tell.
I don't mind playing that game. What I don't like in his answer is the word we. Because what Milbury said, I'm fine with. Milbury said, you're the coach. You got to make a choice. That'd be fine. Montgomery said, we've decided. So, who's we?
Goalie Bob.
Is it Goalie Bob?
It's him and Goalie Bob and probably two other people.
No, no, no. Is it Marchand? Is it Pasternak? Is it Sweeney? Is it Neely? Is it, again, as you said, Goalie Bob? Who's we? Who's we? That's what I want to know. It should be the coach. It should be the coach making the decision. And what I don't want is after Swayman or Omark or somebody gets shelled in game one and you go, well, why'd you start that guy? And who are you playing in game two? He throws Goalie Bob under the bus. Or whatever, or he hides behind like this we. Talk about collaborative. The Bruins are proof the Patriots shouldn't make a collaborative approach. Everything the Bruins do with goalie is collaborative, and it's stupid. It's Goalie Bob, it's Neely, it's Sweeney, it's the players, maybe it's Jim Montgomery too. It worked that way with Bruce Cassidy before too. It was dumb, and it's proof that collaboration doesn't work. At some point, take all the input. Everybody's allowed input and feedback, and you weigh it all, but someone has to make a decision at the end of the day. It should be the head coach. And hiding from it, we've made a decision? That bothers me. It should be Swayman. End of story. It should be Swayman. That should be the guy. He's lined up to play. He's dominated Toronto this year. It should be Swayman. If he plays well, he should get game two as well.
Arkan, is it further proof that Montgomery is worried about what it would mean for a first round exit or a very early exit, that he's looking at the biggest decision for the playoffs and it's a we decision? It's not a I've made the decision.
Yeah, I'd say there's something to that, but I also agree with Jones about how the way it was in the past with with Cassidy and everybody else. Cassidy was a hard ass, and he still was at the whims of Bergeron and Marchand and Tuca and all those guys, you know, the boys and what they wanted to do, and that was just the way it was. And that's why you have Tuukka Rask out there with his groin separated from the bone trying to play against the Islanders. I mean, that's what happened there.
Can
so
you cue the genuine music?
Please. But that's, I mean, if that's still going on now, you don't have those same guys. Like, you have Marchand still. He's one of the elder statesmen.
Bergeron
and, I guess,
and Krejci are gone.
They're gone. Pasternak's still here. I wonder if there's still sort of that same kind of mentality, though, because if that's still kind of lingering, then, look, yeah, you could run into that exact same thing.
And this, by the way, might not be Montgomery's fault. Like, you're right. It was the structure with Cassidy. It might have been the structure with Claude, and it might be the structure with Montgomery. That might not be his fault. But I'm not even really yelling at Montgomery. But, like, that whole collaboration, we're going to make a decision behind closed doors, but it's going to fall on Montgomery, that'd be really unfair to him. If, like, Sweeney or Neely are making the pick, or the players are making the pick and they have input with Sweeney and Neely, or it's stupid Goalie Bob or whatever, like, that would bother me. And so, look, if they lose in round one, especially to Toronto, Montgomery's out of a job. Especially now that it's Toronto, they never lose to Toronto, and they lose in round one, he's gone. He's done.
And that might not be fair, but that's reality. I just don't like that they're making another collaborative decision. I don't mind that they're not telling us. I'm happy they've made a decision.
Oh, I mind. I want to know.
Well, I want to know, too, but they've made a decision. That's all I care about. It's gamesmanship with Toronto. Toronto hasn't announced their game one goalie either. So, fine. I don't care that you haven't announced it. You've made a decision. I hate the we. We is what I hate.
Well, yeah, and I just go back to, I wonder if this is all part and parcel of him feeling the heat, knowing that his job's on the line with this playoffs performance, really with this series in particular. Because as you said, with Toronto, the only way that it can get worse from last year is that not only do you lose in the first round, but you lose to Toronto. You never lose to Toronto, and that would be an ultimate choke job.
It was a take I hadn't fully thought through. I never thought for a moment they'd be matched up with Toronto, and they might lose to the Maple Leafs, which would mean they miss Bergeron. In that scenario, I would have to admit they miss Patrice Bergeron. But look out if they win. Look out if they beat Toronto without Bergie, and they're just right back doing what they always do.
I got to push back on that just a tiny little bit.
What?
Toronto sucks.
He told me this was a shallow take in the Slack chat.
I didn't say that, but
yes,
I do.
You did. Yesterday you said that's a shallow way to look at it.
Wait, which?
I don't think I said that.
My take or her take? Whose take are we talking about?
The one that I said about, like, if they lose to Toronto, then that's even worse than last year. You're like, damn, the President's Trophy last year.
I didn't call it shallow, but I do think that there's something to that.
Say it was shallow.
All right, fine. We'll go back and
what's worse,
and check it out here.
Losing with the all-time points record or losing to the Leafs? That's what you're pushing back
on? Yes, that's what I'm saying. If it was another situation where you had the best record by far and the points record and all that other stuff and you lost to the Leafs, that stinks. But I'd rather lose to the Leafs than go into the first round with all that momentum and the record and everything and lose to anybody. You know, like, I think that's worse than losing to the Leafs.
Do you feel any different knowing that Florida went to the Cup Final and the Leafs are still the choking ass Leafs?
No.
Yeah, I do.
It might be worse
because you're still the choking ass Bruins.
It might be worse to lose to Toronto. I might be with Mego on this.
Hey, I mean, you just said that it's worse to lose to Toronto, but I think coming into it, either way, it's three straight years where you're out in the first round, right? So, I mean, when it comes to do they miss Bergeron or not, with him or without him, they're still out in the first round.
But Toronto,
this year they didn't have the President's Trophy.
But Toronto, they always beat.
It's true.
They always beat Toronto.
In like seven games. I mean, like they beat them easily.
By the way, that's not just you. Everyone always beats Toronto. Not just you.
It shows a real regression.
Yeah. Outside of last year, Toronto advanced out of the first round for the first time in almost 20 years last year. So maybe don't let them get hot. Do not let them get hot.
Merci, Patrice.
You can weigh in. I really, really hope the Bruins beat the Leafs, or else I'm going to have to merci Patrice.
I think I'm rooting for the opposite now.
617-779.
Go Toronto.
793-7. You can jump in on the Bruins. We'll get back to the Patriots as well. More reporting from, Adam Schefter on what's going on with Washington at the second pick. We'll get to that next.